The sheriff swiped the sweat from his face one more time before yelling, "Move the hell back, people! Mercy, I can't breathe! Earl!
Right here, Sheriff!
Get on the horn and find out where the coroner is!"
"Yes, sir."
Joni continued to circle the boat where the dead man lay, snapping pictures. Bringing her camera down, she saw a multicolored 3-foot-long piece of thin nylon rope encircling the dead man's neck. She stepped closer and took a picture of it. Then Joni stepped back and snapped a frontal picture of the corpse.
"You know Jerry won't run that picture on the front page of the Gazette, don't you, Joni?"
the sheriff asked. She looked up at him. Son of a biscuit. He was right. Jerry wouldn't.
Just sink it in, is it? Butane asked. You may be the college graduate, but I'm the one who knows how things work in Ogallala.
He accentuated this last word with a splash of tobacco juice near her tennis shoe.
So go on. Take all the pictures you want. I think that's a fine idea. It saves me the money of having someone else do it. And then, after we get this John Doe on a stretcher and covered with a clean white sheet, I'll stand next to him, and you can take my picture. 'Cause that's the one Jerry's gonna print on the front of the page, and we both know it, don't we, Joni?"
"Sheriff, Doc Borland just got here,"
Tater yelled. The crowd parted, and a thin, stooped man with glasses perched on his forehead ambled onto the scene. Behind him, two local ambulance volunteers pushed and pulled a stretcher through the same parting of the crowd.
"Sheriff?"
the coroner said in greeting.
"Doc?"
the sheriff answered.
"Sure is nice of you to join us this morning. Damn sorry we had to interrupt your golf game."
The coroner glowered at the sheriff before he growled,
"I was making rounds at the hospital, Butane, and you know it. Well, what have we here?"
Joni watched as the deputy and the ambulance workers pulled the boat onto the concrete docking area and lifted the corpse out. They laid him on the ground, and the coroner, on creaking arthritic knees, donned a pair of white latex gloves and bent down to examine him. The multicolored string Joni had noticed earlier was embedded deep into the skin of the dead man's neck. Doc Moreland gently unwrapped the cord. A thin maroon-colored line marked its success.
"Shouldn't be too difficult to determine the cause of death,"
he said, looking up at the sheriff.
"That only leaves the question of who this is and, more importantly, why he died."